Welcome to Postscript. My name is Dave, one of the pastors here at Compass Point, and with me today is lead pastor Paul Eastwood.
Hey.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Yeah. We are continuing in our Advent series called All I Want, and we're talking about some of these classic Advent words that we've probably heard many times. Last week we talked about joy, and this week we talked about peace, and we sang about peace. So give us a little recap from Sunday.
Yeah. So like to, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit as I'm sitting down trying to think, okay, how do I want to talk about peace? And I look around the world and there is unrest everywhere, right? I mean, peace is very hard to find. We see wars, we see all these different things, and that can be tremendously disheartening for us. And it can be difficult for us.
Yeah.
But I decided instead to approach it by talking about the unrest that is often going on in our own souls. And so I started basically talking about the fact that, you know, Dallas Willard said that hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. And I, you know, as that rolled around in my mind for, you know, this, I've heard that many years ago, and that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I kind of went through this list. It just sounds like it makes sense that hurry is degrading us in some way. It's shaping us in ways that perhaps we don't want to be shaped in. And here at our church, one of the things we talk about is that you're always becoming something. So the question is, what are you becoming, right? Yeah. And I think that hurry has this very strong sort of signature that starts to, like, you know, push us in ways that maybe we don't even want, and yet it's happening. So I went through this list of things that John Mark Comer had in his book, like irritability and hypersensitivity and restlessness. And I was asking people, like, okay, does anyone feel any of these, you know?
No one identified with any of them, right?
Well, this is the thing. So I got to tell you, when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm writing this out, I'm like, what if, like, nobody says, like, yes, that's me. Like, what if this is just going on in my heart and no one else is feeling this?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Which is how so many people feel about this, right?
Totally.
It's like, maybe this is just me. But then you asked us to raise our hands if we identified with one of them.
Right.
And you saw how many people raised their hands?
I mean, it was almost, it was like at least 90 to 95%. Almost everybody that I could see had their hand up.
Yeah.
And I didn't dare go further and say how many would say that two describe you or three describe you or four or five or six, because I think that maybe you might get to the point where you're feeling pretty embarrassed about,
of course,
you know, all of this stuff. And it's not the point. What I was trying to do is have people get to a realization that, like, yeah, I don't feel peace in my soul.
Right.
And yet what I talked about was not just the peace of, like, everything that's bad in my life is removed, and I am, like, sitting watching the softly falling snow on a back bench in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And I feel peace because nothing is happening. Like, that's not the kind of peace that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the kind of peace that we can have right in the middle of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of what, one of the things, a theme that we've been going back and forth on, is the darkness and light. And I think one of the biggest mind-blowing realizations for me was that Advent actually begins in the silence of God. Like, it begins in the darkness.
Yeah. 400 years of nothing, right?
Yeah, the last prophet says something that God said, and then all of a sudden there's nothing.
Right.
And that's where we're supposed to put ourselves when we think about Advent. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, I said this in the service, but, like, I think sometimes we think of Advent and Christmas as the same thing. It's not.
Nope.
They're two completely different things. And we've lost this idea of preparation. And so anyways, I'm rambling a little bit. We talked about peace. We talked about the kinds of peace, and then we talked about how we can find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. And peace is one of those things. Yeah. I mean, you talked about, it's not something we've arrived on.
What is it?
You said near the end of your sermon, I'm on team
working on it.
Yeah. We need t-shirts printed that say, like, team working on it.
Well, okay. So I got to say, the reason I said team working on it is because, like, I just had, like, a week of, like, not a lot of peace in my own house.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're a lot, I think a lot of us are at, right? Where there's just stuff that's going on and there's this incongruence, and I feel it as a pastor, because I have to stand up there and talk about something that I'm working on. So I'm glad that I was able to,
And this is one of the joys of preaching or leading worship, even. Like, you stand up front and you're like, I just want to encourage you to come and meet God. And your children and your spouse are at the back, and they're like, yeah, I know what you did yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do. That's true. But, like, there's space for that too. And that's actually what we're talking about. We're talking about having peace, not in the midst of, like, all of my situations have been, like, dealt with, but, like, how do we kind of see God's sovereignty in the midst of it and be okay with the chaos and learn how to sit and on that park bench and watch the snow fall, yeah. even when the world feels like it's falling
yeah.
apart.
Yeah, that's good. And so I would say that so biblically speaking, I think it's pretty clear that peace is, in a sense, it is the opposite of conflict and the opposite of anxiety and the opposite of all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I think that the peace that is provided in Jesus is not simply the absence of conflict. And what I said on Sunday is yeah. it's actually the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
So our peace is found in God's presence, right? So mm-hmm. for example, in Philippians 4, it's this idea of do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God and the peace of God will be with you, right? Mm. And then later in that passage, it says, and the God of peace will be with you, right? Yeah. So there's this idea of the presence of Jesus is actually what brings us true peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so yeah. our peace is really based on a couple of things. We talked about this, three different ways. We have peace with God, which is foundational and mm-hmm. is absolutely necessary. And then we talked about peace with ourselves, kind of this interior thing.
Yeah.
And then we finished with the peace with one another. Right. And all three of those things are aspects of what Jesus brought at Christmas that allows us to wait for the ultimate culmination of all those things.
Yeah. And so if we're on team, I'm working on it. Like if we recognize a little bit of that hurry sickness in our own lives and this desire for more peace, what are some practices in this Advent season that we can get ourselves into? Like what works, Paul?
Yeah.
you've got all those answers, right?
Yeah. I think, so if I could take us a little bit of a step back. So what I did was I looked at Matthew chapter 11, which mm-hmm. says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for mm-hmm. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I think what you're talking about is this idea, like, what does it look like to learn from him? What are the practices that we can put into our life? I would just take a mini step back and say, the first thing we need to do is come to Jesus, recognizing that, you know, I think one of the things about Advent that we don't talk about enough is that it was a period of repentance and confession,
yeah.
preparing for Jesus to come. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we add Jesus on to these other things that are going on in our lives, things that we find comfort in, things that bring us some level of stability or satisfaction. And so it's very difficult to differentiate between what is the peace that I get when, you know, I get a raise at work or the bonus comes in at just the right time or whatever.
Right.
And the peace that I can have at work when things are not going well, when I've just lost my job, when I've just lost a loved one, when right. I'm facing a Christmas that is going to be excruciatingly difficult for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the difference is, again, it's not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of Jesus. I would say that come to me, that first phrase, is actually more significant than we'd mm-hmm. like to admit. Because I think for many of us, we actually want the kingdom or aspects of the kingdom without the king.
Right.
And that doesn't work.
Right. Right. And it is like, so working in a church, and you've seen this and heard this, right? Like people tend to come when things get really bad, right? Like what is it they say? Recession is good for church attendance often, right? Like when people are having really hard times, they're like, oh, finally, like I need to come. But I think there's a challenge here that like for those of us, and frankly, if you're living in this area, we have a lot of good, not that there's not a lot of struggles, but like we are very privileged, fortunate people. The challenge is knowing how to come even when like it feels like I am in control and I am fine mm-hmm. on my own.
Mm-hmm.
How do I like build those patterns? And we talk about rule of life here. We talk about, and we've just done a series on prayer. Last year we did a series on Sabbath, both of these kind of things that place us under the lordship of Jesus and allow us to come to him and for him to provide us peace.
Yeah. Yeah. When he says, come to me and learn from me, then we definitely should be figuring out ways to create some margin in our lives, right? Some space, some white space so that we can actually, engage in practices that are going to help build us up.
Right. And even just showing up at church is a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. That we talk about lots. Even when you don't feel like it, right? Like church, we actually don't design church to like be the most appealing all the time.
Yeah.
We want it to introduce you to Jesus, but that isn't always like super comfortable and entertaining and wonderful. It's sometimes it's a struggle for me to get pulled into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. Let me talk to me a little more about peace, and maybe this is going outside of kind of the scope that you had for this sermon and this message, but like, mm-hmm. how do we become bearers of peace? How do we become right. people who not only experience peace, but bring peace into the relationships, into yeah. the world we live in?
Yeah. And John Mark Comer has this statement that I found very compelling, that he says that as followers of Jesus, we should strive to become a non-anxious presence in our world.
Yes.
And if you just kind of think about that for a moment, when we went back and asked you about all of those different things that are warring against your mind, the speed, the hurry, all of these different things, mm-hmm. if we were to ask your friends the same questions, they'd probably put their hands up, right? Yeah. This is something that is common to us here in North America. And I think that this call to be a non-anxious presence in the world is so compelling and so powerful. And it's not something we put on. It's not like something that we can pretend. Mm-hmm. It there's a progression. It starts with our, you know, spending time with Jesus, coming to him as the one we know has the answers, mm-hmm. learning from him,
yeah.
you know, slowly kind of embracing the rhythms that, you know, that we've talked about in terms of rule of life and things like that. That will move us towards becoming that non-anxious presence. Mm-hmm. And that to me is so compelling. Like I think about that. I'm a coach on my son's hockey team. What does it look like to be a non-anxious presence on the bench of a hockey team with 14 and 15 year old guys that are just raging with testosterone and right. wanting to run somebody through the boards, right?
Right.
What does it look like to be a non-anxious presence at my work when deadlines are coming, when quotas haven't been met, when there's just so much stress and yeah. strain being put on us? You know, that's the kind of thing. I mean, what about a non-anxious presence when you're trying to write exams, when all your friends are, you know?
Or, as you and I experience, what about a non-anxious presence as you parent teenagers?
Tell me about
and
it.
Young adults who yeah. like, frankly, and for good reason, there's a lot of anxiety. Like, how do we embody this deep, faithful trust in God and find peace in the midst of it, and without being denialists, right? Like, I think that's sometimes when people hear this, they think like, yeah, you just have to like, the king is coming back and like, you just, you know, read the scripture and like, which is yeah. of course true, but we can't be in denial of the real struggles and the hurts and the pains and the anxieties of the world around us. We just have to know that our God is bigger than them.
Yeah. And I can tell you that some of the research that I read in preparation for this message, talking about mental health in Canada,
yeah.
Indicates that there's a very, very large numbers, and I'm not going to quote them exactly because I forget them, but I don't want to misquote them, but there are huge numbers of people who would qualify themselves as anxious or yep. feeling some level of anxiety that's above, you know, just kind of the normal sort of thing that people feel. Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. In the research, and I can't remember exactly the number, but it was something really, really large in the sense of like the youngest generations right now, the people that are in high school and into young adults, they mm-hmm. are, you know, 3, 4, 5 times as likely to experience some of these mental health issues than older generations.
Yeah.
And so what it means to me is that we're not getting better here. If you're listening to this and you have kids or grandkids, probably your kids are more anxious and more, you know, mm-hmm. worrying about more things than you were. Yeah. And even if you feel like you're worrying about a lot, and your grandkids are probably worrying about even more.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, one of the things that you're asking, like, I think that there's so much, so powerful, like the church is such an important place for us to be able to gather and encounter God together. And I think that the fact that this youngest generation is full of anxiety and worry and all of these things, that should matter to us a great deal. Mm-hmm. And we have to do a better job of modeling what the peace of God looks like in right. our lives so that we can set an example for people to follow. And I got to tell you, okay, back to, hey, I'm on team working on it yeah. because I know that I don't always do this well,
right.
but at least I can talk about it with my kids and say, hey, you know, here's where I kind of dropped the ball on this. And I want to be a non-anxious presence. And I want to be a non-anxious presence because I know that Jesus is in control and he's on the throne mm. and he's going to bring his kingdom to fruition in the future. And so with all of that in mind, you know, we can sort of set the bar and say, this is what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, now I'm getting into meddling, so
go
forgive
for
me. I'm on a bit
we're
of a
we're on
roll,
the podcast, Paul. It's
but
great.
let's not push our kids to, you know, to figure out exactly what they need to they're going to do. Let's like they have tools that are going to help them organize their lives so that they don't waste a second.
Right.
You know, so that they can get to wherever they want to get to as soon as possible. In fact, I can tell you that my son has, you know, often said to me or said to me recently, you know, okay, how do I get through this as quickly as possible? Like, I want to get to my job as fast as I can.
Right.
And I would just, as parents, like, I think we need to be encouraging our kids just to like, just relax,
slow
you know,
down.
6 months is okay. Like yeah. A summer is not going to kill you. Like, just enjoy the moments and live mm-hmm. at a pace that is going to bring, that's going to refresh your soul and not drive you into, you know, oblivion. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I would say like for everybody to slow down, myself included, I think is maybe the first step in helping us to get to a place where we can experience the peace of God.
Yeah. And I love the picture of that, not only as individuals, but that, in community, right? So if you're part of a community group or a small group here, or if you're serving with a team, or you know, if you're part of a family, talk about this stuff. Talk about what does it look like for you and your family to be that non-anxious presence. How can we help each other? Not accuse each other, but like help right. each other. How can we genuinely live authentic lives of peace?
Yeah,
I think it's so important. And I'll add, you know, the songs that we sang yesterday, a bunch of them were kind of written from those like depressed, dark
yeah.
places. So again, it's not denial of those
yeah.
things, but they all turn, right? They all kind of like recognize that and say, and even in that, God is still bigger. There is still peace on earth.
Yeah. And can I put you on the spot here and ask you about, you know, you put together a book that goes with your, mm-hmm. Album. And in it, there's a lot of different things
yep.
and, you know, from wooden spoons to, you know, cast iron pans
yeah.
to, you know, like, can you explain how those things fit together or what?
Yeah. Yeah. So the book I did to go with my Christmas album has, creative pieces done by a bunch of friends of mine.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Moore carved wooden spoons. My wife, Rachel, did a yeah. piece on why cooking with cast iron is good.
Yeah.
Lots of paintings and poetry and
yeah.
stories. And I love the diversity of that the people that it reflects, but also just, for me, I've seen God at work in all of these arenas, and
yeah.
often art and creative things require me to slow down.
Yeah.
Right. It's not bullet pointed. It's not at 1.5 times speed. I hope no one's listening to this podcast at 1.5 times speed.
I know you are.
I know some of you are. Maybe if I talk fast, you can't know. But like, I think there's something about art which requires us to stop and to be human and to
right.
process and to chew on it. Whether it's figuring out how to cook with cast iron and why, like, you can't use soap with it, but it's still a good thing.
Yeah.
Or it's like, man, the time it takes to carve a spoon where I could like
right.
go and buy a spoon, but like using a hand carved spoon again, allows me to be in the moment.
Yes.
To be present. And the more present I find myself, even in day-to-day activities,
yeah.
the more I find that I see God's presence in those times.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of this, like, non-anxious presence, part of this developing peace is just, so my hope is that those things do for others what they've done for me and just kind of invite me to stop and
yeah.
be present and to allow God to be present in it.
Yeah. And that's exactly that, you know, like not knowing exactly, I mean, you know, about your, what those things were, what the connections were. That's what I would have guessed, right?
Yeah.
That they slow us down mm-hmm. and they, you know, everything from a cast iron pan to a wooden spoon to like, you know,
yeah,
they caught like, yeah. it's something about something being handmade or hand done, or it takes away sort of all of the conveniences of the world that are trying to speed things up for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking us to a place where we actually slow down enough. And I think that's really powerful and really needed for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And the opening song of my album, the Wonder of That Day, right? The
yeah.
give me pause, draw me in, help me slow down enough
right.
to see the light again.
Right.
Still my hands. Let
yeah.
me stay in the wonder of that day. Kind of this call to like if I'm going to experience wonder, if I'm going to experience God, I need first to find some inner
yeah.
peace, because I just race around in my life.
Right.
It's yeah. very much a confession and a prayer. Right.
I know. Yeah.
But oh, that's great, Paul. We're just about out of time. So any closing thoughts?
Yeah, just the reminder that I think they build on each other. I think that finding, so you know, maybe you are in a place where you're coming into a Christmas season and you're like, I got to see some relatives that I don't want to see, and this is like, ugh. And what I would say is that the peace with other people actually is born out of a peace that's within ourselves. And the peace that's within ourselves begins with a foundational peace between us and God.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, if anything, please do not rush past the peace that we have between us and God. It is so foundational to everything. And so often we just take it for granted. Jesus saved me. He died for my sins. I'm great. I'm good.
Yep.
But being in that place where we are reminded of the darkness and the need we have for the light actually pushes us to places of repentance and self-reflection and, you know, those places where we realize, wait, I'm putting something else on the throne, or I'm doing, you know, and all of those things together, I think are really important for us to just reflect during this time. And so I would say that, you know, if you're going to start anywhere, don't start with like just trying to solve the relational issues. Start by, you know, sitting back and recognizing and you know, getting a deeper understanding of what it looks like to have peace between yourself and an almighty God who loves you and cares for you and created you. And, you know, I think that's the place to be.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you, Paul. And thank you for listening along this week on Postscript. We'll be back next week talking about more. Talk to you then.